You know, this last year, I think it was around spring, I had been having a conversation on the phone with my older son, Aaron, you know, just catching up a little bit, and he just happened to be talking about a family trip that he had heard about, and I thought, well, that sounded exciting, because it's, you know, on both sides of the family, quite a number of people, and they were talking about going to Cancun, and so he was talking, it was his wife's brother and his family, his wife's parents, and so they were just talking about getting together, and they were considering whether they were going to go, and they decided to, and so Faith and I thought, well, that'd be great, you know, then we could go down to New Mexico, we'd take care of the grandkids. Well, a little while later, he said, well, the grandkids, and I mean, all the kids are going to go, and there's a bunch of people going. How would you like to go? Now, some people, you might go, Cancun? What's the problem with that? But all-inclusive resort, we'd never gone on one of those trips. We're kind of like, well, is that something we do? Is that something we want to do? And then we thought, wait a minute, hello, no-brainer, family. And we said, yes. And we went. And we had a blast. But the point is this, we all like to belong, don't we? To someone or to something. And whether we realize it or not, belonging is something that we all need, something that we long for. Whether that means belonging to a family, it might be belonging to a sports team or to a fan base of a sports team. How many people sometimes get together and they'll, right now, we're cheering on the Twins. We hope that they'll make it to postseason play, right? And that Cleveland doesn't catch them. Or the Vikings. You know, we're into football season already. Or maybe you belong to a community organization or, of course, to a church. But God made us to belong. And he said it was not good for us to be alone. Well, today we want to talk about that. So why don't you take your bulletins, open them up, pull out the outline, and let's get started. Your second calling in life is to belong to God's church. It's to belong to God's church. Paul, in writing to Timothy, says, I am writing to you so you will know how to live in the family of God. That family is the church of the living God, the support and foundation of the truth. Now, a little background here. The word for church in the Bible is the Greek word ekklesia. It comes from the word kaleo, which means called. Ekklesia means you're called out. So the word church literally means a group of people who are called out by God, called out of sin, called out of the world, called out of ourselves and our selfishness, called out in order to follow Jesus Christ. In other words, the church isn't an event or a program or a building. If I ask most people, what do you think church is? I think a lot of people would say, building. Because you might say, well, what did you do like later on in the day? What did you do this morning? Well, I went to church. See, I'm going to church. However, church is not something you go to. Church is something you belong to. Church is a relationship. We worship here. We have a place here. The church is the people of God. Because God designed his family, the church, to meet your deepest needs, in the Bible, the church is often referred to by different metaphors. The church is called the family. The church is called the temple. The church is called a body. The church is called a flock. And each of one of these has profound implications for our lives. So if you understand the meaning of these metaphors, you'll understand how the church was designed to meet your deepest needs in life. So let's look at the benefits this morning, the benefits of belonging. In God's family, first of all, you learn your true identity. You learn your true identity. One of the benefits of a healthy family is that you are taught who you are, or maybe who you can become. You learn your identity. Now, you're not going to learn your true identity from the world. You're not going to learn your true identity from your peers. Your true identity is found in a relationship to God's family. Now, the truth is, we're all looking for identity. And today, we've got all these brands that make us cool. You know what? I don't know what the coolest trends are. Maybe you guys do. I remember it wasn't all that long ago. You know, we like Hollister shirts or Nike tennis shoes or Columbia sportswear. But it's that idea. I don't know what the current ones that keep coming up. You know, those brand names that if I have that and I'm wearing it, I'm really cool. I mean, maybe you don't understand that, but I'm really cool. Well, we have stuff with logos on it, like my Starbucks travel mug, which means I am cool. And then, of course, Apple is cool, so you need to have an Apple iPhone, an Apple iPad, and now an Apple Watch. We think that kind of stuff gives us identity. But the truth is, most of your identity doesn't come from your stuff. It comes from your relationships. Now, if you have good relationships, you have a good identity. If you have bad relationships, your identity is conflicted. For example, with me, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather, I'm a brother, I'm a friend, I'm a pastor, and all of these are relationships that define who I am. You know who you are in relationship with other people. Usually, our first relationships are with our families. But what does that mean if your relationships are broken through divorce or maybe death? Or you didn't have very good relationships growing up because your family was dysfunctional. So what exactly is your true identity now? Well, here's the good news. Ephesians 2:19, it says, "You are members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian." You see, it doesn't matter if your relationships were bad and your family was dysfunctional. Your most important family. That's right, Peggy. It's God's family. It was a pop quiz. Because they are your permanent family. They're going to last forever. Even with the best human families, they will not last forever. People grow up. People move away. People die. But your spiritual family is going to last forever. What matters most is your spiritual identity. I love this one verse. We're going to read this together. Hebrews 2. Jesus and the people he makes holy all belong to the same family. That is why he isn't ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. Wow. Think about that. It said, did you know Jesus calls you his sister or his brother? Now, that's pretty amazing. The Bible says he isn't ashamed to call you his brother or sister. Now, have you ever had a brother or sister that you were ashamed of? Don't answer that. You may have, but Jesus doesn't. He isn't ashamed to call you his brother or sister, no matter how messed up your life is or has been. Why? Because through faith in Christ, you're in the family. Now, that's one of the greatest things about being in the family of God is that your sin doesn't define you anymore. Your past doesn't define you anymore. That's a big one for a lot of us, isn't it? We just carry some of that stuff with us, and we think we're branded for life, and that stain's not going to come off. No, when you're in the family of God, that doesn't define you anymore. Yes, you have sinned. Yes, I've sinned. But it's not our defining characteristic. Our relationship with Jesus and God's family reveals our true identity. Jesus has forgiven all your sins, and he's clothed you with his white robe of righteousness. It's also said that he's taken away your guilt, and he's taken away your shame. And I think that's one of the big things that we struggle with. We have no problem with Jesus taking away our sin, but it's the guilt we carry. It's the shame that we carry. Even though we can't remove those, he can, and he does. By belonging to God's family, you will learn your true identity. Now, a lot of families, to advertise their identity, well, they have a symbol or they have a family crest. Okay, maybe more in Europe than here. But the symbol of being in God's family is baptism. Being baptized is a public symbol that says, I'm not ashamed to say that I'm a part of the family of God. I'm open about that. So if you haven't been baptized, that's something you need to do. And by the way, we just happen to have a class coming up, and you can sign up for that. You know, sometimes we lose the meaning of baptism here in this country, but I know in some parts of the world where I have heard of villages where they have a Christian population and a Muslim population. And when the Christian gets baptized, they go down to the river and they're publicly baptized in front of everybody, and the whole village is watching. At that point, you're saying, I am standing up for Jesus and all that means. And there may be some people who don't like that, but you're saying, my identity is now as a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a committed follower of Christ. There's a second metaphor that God uses to describe the church. He says the church is like a temple. Now, a temple is a building that's erected for the glory of God. We have different examples of that in the Bible. Solomon's temple was one of the most amazing ones. It's a building where God's presence shows up, where God is loved and honored and worshiped. The Bible says this. Let's read this together from 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? He's talking to the church. Well, why did God choose a temple as one of the illustrations of the church? Because in a building, all of the connected parts, they support each other. In God's temple, you experience support. You're not on your own. You're not a lone ranger. You're not by yourself. In a building, all the connected parts hold the other parts up. And when they're connected together, the building is strong. Now, there are going to be some times in your life when you need to be connected with other people to give you support, to hold you together, when it feels like everything is all falling apart. And all of us go through those kinds of times. That's why in the church, I'm thinking that there are times that we are standing here and we reach and we grab one of our brothers and sisters by the hand or the arm and we're there to pull them up. And there are other times that we're down there and we need somebody to pull us up because we can't do it alone. And that's what the church is about. If you're not in the temple of God and you're not connected, nothing is going to hold you together. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, in him, Christ, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Well, let me put this metaphor in terms that might be a little more familiar to some of us. You know, whenever my wife Faith and I spend time with our grandkids, we play with Legos. Often we'll bring maybe a small box of Legos for each one. We got three of the grandkids. One of them's a girl, but it doesn't matter. She loves Legos. Now, we used to have to show our grandkids how to put the Legos together. Now they show us. So when it comes to Legos, there's only one purpose. They're designed to connect. And it's important that the bricks are connected in a way that they provide support so that the building can be really tall. If you don't connect the Lego bricks and they're just laying all over the place, they're worthless. If you connect the bricks together, you can build all kinds of really cool stuff. You know, just recently, one of my grandsons, my second grandson, he's about 7 years old. Well, his parents bought him this Lego rocket. I'm not even sure how tall that thing is. You know, it's something like this. And it's supposed to be for older kids. Well, Andrew's one of these guys, you put, it's like a dog with a bone. You put something in front of him, he's going to do it. He put that whole thing together. 7 years old. I couldn't have put that thing together. Now, he probably had a little bit of help, maybe with his older brother or with his parents. But you can build some really cool stuff with Legos. And I think that's the same way it is in the church. If you're a believer in Christ, you're God's Lego brick. You were designed for connection and support. Romans says, I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Your faith will help me. My faith will help you. See, God never made us to be alone. He called us together in community. He knew that we would all need support as we chase, you know, just face the different challenges in life. Alone we can fall. Together, we're going to be strong and stable. But connection, let me just say this, doesn't just happen. You have to do something. You have to take action in order to connect with others. You have to step out. You have to step up. You have to sign up. You have to join. It's just like when I get up here in this fall, there have been the CE committee, and there's leadership team, and there's staff, and we're working together, and we're providing these opportunities for you guys to grow. But just because we have an event, or we have a class, or we have a group, does that mean you're going to grow? Does it? What's it going to take? You got to join. You got to be a part of it. You got to say, yes, I need that. I'm going to get involved. If you're going to be a Lego brick and do a good job and we're going to come up with something beautiful and amazing, well, then guess what? Every Lego brick has to come together and do their part for it to work. And one of the ways of getting connected to a support network here at iFalls Covenant is to become a member. That's why we have a membership class. We give people an opportunity on an ongoing basis. That's why we have life groups. Those are the kinds of things that you want to be a part of. And if you're not a member, I would encourage you to become a member. And when we together here at iFalls Covenant use our gifts and abilities, we come together, we're strong, we're secure, we help each other out, we can build all kinds of cool stuff. All kinds of cool stuff that this church, it's unique to this church. It's who we are. It's who we should be. But I think some of that really cool stuff is happening. For it to continue to happen, we need to be working together. The third description of the church in Scripture is that of a body. Now, this is probably one of the most common descriptions of the church. 1 Corinthians 12 says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Well, what does this metaphor mean? See, we're all different parts, but we're all connected, and what we accomplish together, we could never do on our own. We're better together. When we do that, all of a sudden, we find our place, we find our niche, we find our unique shape or talents. So the third benefit of belonging to a church family is in Christ's body, you discover your unique value. You discover your unique value. Romans, let's read this together, Romans 12. Just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete. For we each have different work to do. We belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. Yeah. Notice what it says. The body of Christ, the church, is made up of many parts. We're all different. Go ahead, look around you. Nobody's like you. Nobody looks like you. Nobody sounds like you. God designed us that way. God loves variety. So turn to the person next to you and tell them, boy, you are really unique. Go ahead. And some of us are thinking that there are those other people that are way more unique than we are. I know that. But we are all needed to make the body complete. We all have work to do. We all have different roles, different ministries. If all the parts did the same thing, it would just be redundant. It would be wasteful. It would be boring. Just think about it. If every part of your body were an ear, you would look really strange. So we all have different roles to play, different things to do. We all belong to each other. We don't just belong to God, we belong to each other. The Bible says each of us needs all the others. In other words, what good is your hand if you cut it off and you put it up on a shelf? It's going to wither. It's going to die. You cannot be what God made you to be without a church family, without being connected in Christ's body. You can't fulfill your purpose in life on your own. You have to be connected. You have to belong. Nobody can say that one part is more important than the other. If your foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if your ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm only an ear and not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? The answer is no. All parts are important. Now, I know some are more visible and they get more attention, but every part is important. Do you ever just think that there are certain parts of our body we pay a lot of attention to? Probably our face, our hair, you know, we're in front of the mirror all the time. But there are other parts of our body we just take for granted. That is, we take it for granted until all of a sudden it acts up on us. I remember some years ago when we're living in Michigan, and I thought, you know what? I've got to get in shape. I just do. I'm going to start running. And it was just beautiful. There was a lake there and everything. So I put on my tennis shoes, and every morning I'd get up early, and I'd go out running. Almost killed me, but I went out running. I did that for about 2 weeks. And all of a sudden, my ankle and my foot just started killing me. I don't think I had very good shoes. I don't think I knew a whole lot about doing running the right way, but that stopped my running. But all of a sudden, it was like I was introduced to Mr. Ankle, Mr. Foot. I had taken them for granted completely, didn't look at them in the mirror, but all of a sudden they had my attention because every part of the body is important. So we all have unique spiritual gifts given to us by God, to be used in cooperation with each other for the building up of the body of Christ. So you have to ask yourself, what are your gifts? And what I like today in the church and some of the materials we have out there is that it's not just about your spiritual gifts, but you are unique in the sense that, first of all, your spiritual gifts, and then what are your passions? What's your heart? What are those things that you just are really passionate about doing? What about your abilities? See, you can do stuff I can't do. Maybe I can do some stuff you can't do, but we all work together, your abilities and my abilities. And then personality. As you just told each other, boy, you're unique. Well, our personalities are way different. Our experiences are different. But when you put those together with us as individuals and then us as a church family, that's a rich heritage. It makes us stronger. And so the question is, how are you using them? What you need to know is this, and some of you don't know this. Your local body, I Falls Covenant Church, needs you. Needs you and your special gift mix, abilities, personality. I believe in a sovereign and a loving God, and I believe with all my heart that you are not in this church by accident. I'm not sure how you got here, but I believe God wants you here. And he has a role for you to fulfill. Do you know what that role is? Until you know the answer to that question and we're able to work together, you're not going to be fulfilled. You're not going to be growing like you could in Christ, and neither is this church. That's why this is important. And the fourth description of the church in the Bible is a flock. Let's read this together. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. You know, in talking about Psalm 23 this last summer, right, we talked about sheep, and part of it was when God calls us sheep, it's not probably the biggest compliment in the world. Isn't that true? Sheep tend to be a bit on the dumb side, skittish, vulnerable to predators, weak and dependent. And that's more like us than we'd like to admit, by the way. That's why it's good for us to have a shepherd. Let me read to you from Psalm 23 from the Living Bible. I like this version. It says this, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything that I need. He lets me rest in meadow grass, and he leads me beside quiet streams. He gives me new strength. He helps me to do what honors him the most. Even when I'm walking through the dark valley of death, I won't be afraid. For you are close beside me, guarding, guiding all the way. You provide delicious food for me in the presence of my enemies. You welcome me as your guest. Blessings overflow. Your goodness and unfailing kindness shall be with me all of my life. And afterwards, I will live with you forever in your home. See, flock is a good term. Why did God choose a flock of sheep as an illustration of what the church is like? Because in God's flock, you have security. You have security. You're not on your own. You enjoy safety and security because you have a shepherd. And that makes you more confident, less anxious, less fearful. You know that God is protecting you from your enemies. Well, when is that important? All the time. That's true. Maybe it's when you're being beat up in the business world, when your family or your marriage is being strained to the breaking point, when you're facing a personal crisis or a terminal illness, when you're feeling overwhelmed by temptation and sin and addictions. You need to know that someone is protecting you and is caring for you. And it's great to know that God protects you. But sometimes God protects us through his flock, through his people. We help each other. What you need in your life is some people. People who will step up to the bat for you when life gets tough. You need some people who will walk into your life when everybody else walks out. So let me ask you, do you have anybody like that? That's what it means to be in the flock of God. In the flock of God, I think God has created two kinds of people who look out for you. The first are your pastors. You see, as your pastors, we pray for you. We're concerned for you. We watch out for you. We want to encourage you. Interestingly enough, the word pastor is the Greek word for shepherd. Poimen, a pastor, is a shepherd, and a shepherd is a pastor. Pastors are to shepherd the flock of God. In fact, you want to know what part of my job description is? 1 Peter 5:2. Take care of God's flock, his people that you are responsible for, Watch over them because you want to, not because you're forced to do it. Well, I take that seriously. I want you to know your prayer requests. I want to know what those prayer requests are. I appreciate Sue when she puts them out in the prayer chain so that I can pray for those prayer requests immediately. See, I want to make sure you're cared for. So myself, our pastors, Pastor Seth, Pastor Ed, the leadership team, we work together with other caregivers to make sure that everyone is cared for and encouraged on a regular basis. So it's important that we are leading you in the right direction. That's the flock of God. This is not just some business that if we mess up, we're just going to start another company. Eternity is in the balance here. Heaven and hell. It's extremely important. I take that very seriously. I want to make sure you're safe. You're safe from false doctrine, from cults, from wolves, from false ideology, and lead you in the right way. That's why we talked about in Hot Topics last January, we talked about truth. But not only do we have pastors to help us out in the flock of God, we have life groups, especially during this series. And there have been some life groups going on. We have women's Bible studies, a couple of them. We have men's Bible studies at the coffee landing. We have Sunday school classes, care groups like divorce care, grief supports coming up in January. The Bible says that the sheep take care of each other. 58 times in the Bible, the phrase one another is used. It says love one another, care for one another, help one another, encourage one another, support one another, pray for one another, greet one another. The only way you can do that is in some kind of small group, because you can't do those one another's in a large crowd of people. You can only do it in a group of, say, 6 to 10 people or maybe a few more. Galatians says, share each other's troubles and problems, and in this way obey the law of Christ. Well, what's the law of Christ? Love your neighbor as yourself. When you're in a small group and you can pray for someone who's just going through a tough time, and you stop and you pray for them and you encourage them, you've just done a one another. You have just shepherded the flock yourself. 1 Thessalonians says, encourage each other, give each other strength. You get strength, I get strength as we encourage each other in a small group. I know over the years, my wife and I have had the privilege to be involved in a life group. And I have to admit, it has just been a delight. We laughed a lot. We ate a lot. We talked a lot about the Bible. We talked about what was going on in our lives. We prayed for each other. We cared for each other. And by the time we were done, we were encouraged and we could face another week. So here's my question. Who's looking out for you? Who's looking out for you? Here's my other question. Who are you looking out for? Who are you looking out for? Can you name 3 or 4 specific people? These are the people in your flock that you're looking out for. And they're looking out for you. That's what it means to be a Christian. You care for others, they care for you. So if you're not in a life group or like a Bible study or Sunday school class or some smaller group of people, why not? It's one of the most important ways that God wants us to care for each other. Called to belong to Christ Church. That is God's plan for your life. So if you belong here at I Falls Covenant Church, awesome. I think that's great. You know how wonderful it feels to belong to something that's bigger than yourself. But if you're not connected here, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Well, we don't claim to be a perfect church because no church is. We are Christ's church. And he's working in our lives. And to tell you the truth, these are exciting days to be at I Falls Covenant Church. Whatever your family is like, your natural family, close or distant, good or bad, we will be your family. Maybe you've been looking for places to belong all your life because you've just wanted to be accepted. You just wanted to belong. But the truth is, you still don't belong. And you feel alone. Then let me tell you, you belong here. Regardless of who you are and what you've done, regardless of your background, regardless of what you look like, you're wanted here. My friends, the local church is the hope of the world. We have all been called to belong. Would you bow with me in prayer? Lord God, we live in such an individualistic culture. We just want to kind of be on our own sometimes, and we like that, and we want to do our own thing and maybe not get dragged into some of these organizations or whatever because we might be asked to do something we don't want to do. And then at the same time, Lord, we find ourselves alone. And not just alone, but lonely. And we would like to spend some time with other people that we enjoy in conversation or a meal or a cup of coffee or to be there and to just study your word together and to talk openly and honestly about the good parts of our life and the tough parts of our life, and that somebody would care about us. And we would care about them. So Lord, help us as we go through this series. Live your calling. That we would realize that we were never meant to live our calling alone. It can only happen here in the church. Your body, your fellowship, your flock. God, help us to take that seriously. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.